Oh, is his black friend king of black people?
Oh, he must be. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, Merry Christmas! We're talking about our favorite Christmas movies, television shows, and songs.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Jingle my balls.
And Tim Wick.
Ho, ho, ho.
That's three hoes for Tim.
Three hoes for me.
And that's right, in case you haven't picked up on our subtle nuance, we're going to talk about Christmas movies and Christmas TV shows that we have liked. And
Holiday Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Christmas
because
media.
We are atheists and we declare Christmas to be a secular holiday. So
we stole it in a war.
Yep, we did.
Yeah,
it's for everybody.
We fought the war for Christmas and we won, and it's ours now.
Here's the thing. Christmas can 100% be... you're not listening to this podcast, but like those people have a very religious holiday. They can be all religion all the time. I bet there's probably someone who doesn't even put up a tree or do presents because it's super pagan or whatever. Hooray, bully for them. But the facts are that what we celebrate in America and most, you know, European countries as Christmas is secular. There's tree, presents, stockings, you know, fires,
maybe midnight
friends
mass.
And food.
Nog,
no church services unless for some reason you feel the need. But I will say, before we get started, one of the things that kind of made me think about this, because when I suggested it as a topic, is American atheists, their slogan and their push this holiday season, they're putting up a lot of billboards, is make Christmas great again, skip church.
Oh.
And their point is, if you are an atheist, closeted, whatever, don't go to church with your family just because they want you to and that'll make them feel better.
That's great.
Skip church. Try to convince everyone to skip church. If it's not, you're not a church-going family, but for some reason you think you need to because it's Christmas, like, make Christmas great again. Everyone will have more fun if you don't go to church. And that's their thing. And I think that's really great.
There are a lot of families that are like Christmas and Easter families.
Even just Christmas. Like,
as far as church going in. When I stopped going to church, the Christmas Mass was the one that I was still going to the longest.
Yep. And the thing is, and I do want to make sure I say... We aren't judging you. We don't think you're less cool. You're not as good of an atheist. If you decide you do want to go to church with your family to make them feel better or whatever. But the thing is, think about what that means for you. I mean, you're lying about something.
And it's erasure.
If they know that you're an atheist and you go to church anyway, yeah, I don't know. It's up to you. It's your own choice. But so that got me thinking about Christmas stuff today, reading
that
article. And I thought about all the things because I love Christmas. I think it's great. It's one of my second favorite holiday.
I love Christmas lights, even though, you know, they suck energy. I love Christmas trees, even though you're either killing trees or killing plastic.
I love all the things you bake. I love all the food. Yes. I love giving gifts. I love getting gifts because I'm not going to pretend I don't love getting gifts. Come on.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
It's super fun.
Excited to get gifts.
And never it's never been religious in my family. Even when we were still, you know, Christian or whatever, it was never a religious holiday. At most, we would make jokes about it being Jesus' birthday and like laugh. I mean,
that's
it just was
birthday,
never.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, Christmas movies. I have a feeling the ones that we like tend to be the more secular kinds. But Tim. You specifically, you like classic Christmas stuff.
I love all sorts of Christmas movies. For a few years, Pat and I used to do like a Christmas movie series where we'd once a week we'd show two Christmas movies. Usually it was like one holiday special, so, you know, maybe a half hour thing and then a full length movie. You know, if we're talking about favorites, my favorite Christmas story is A Christmas Carol. I like just about any version of A Christmas Carol that I can watch. I like A Christmas Carol. I think to me it is a really nicely and this is not going to sound crazy with the ghosts and everything, it's a nicely secular story. Because in the end, what makes Scrooge realize that he doesn't want to be such an asshole is seeing how everybody remembers him for being such an asshole.
And seeing himself die.
Yeah, but
he's not like, oh, good, and I'm in heaven now. Like, it's that promise of mortality and the coldness of the grave, too.
But he knows death is coming. Mm-hmm. Right. I always interpret it as he knows death is coming, but what happens is the ghost of Christmas yet to come shows him, when you die, mm-hmm. this is how people are going to think about
it. Yeah.
This is your legacy. Yep. You don't.
Yep.
All this money that you've earned, everything that you've done means nothing. Except
no one's like, oh, he was wealthy, or oh, he was whatever, or successful.
Respected.
It's bury this asshole.
Yeah.
People laughing about
Scrooge,
it. Nobody's going to visit your grave.
Yep.
You know, the people give a shit about Tiny Tim dying because he was a caring, loving boy. Mm-hmm. They don't give a shit about you because you hated everybody and everybody hated you.
And the one person you loved, you threw it away for money.
Yeah.
The one time, the one thing that you came close to loving, and so, loved you back. Yep.
And so when Scrooge makes his change at the end, to me, what I like about it is Scrooge making a change in how he behaves in this life, and I don't even feel it's because he's worried. Even though Marley gives him the big warning in the beginning about how his
I wore chains in life.
His afterlife is going to be. I don't think he makes the decision because of suffering in the afterlife.
No,
that he makes the decision because he sees how people are going to think of him, and that fills him with regret.
I never saw it as suffering in the afterlife. I always saw it as like being confronted with your own mortality in a way that isn't just like, well, of course I know I'm going to die. Everyone dies. It's this vagary, that thing that happens to other people and you're sad, but you can't really contemplate it happening to you until you literally are looking down at your tombstone, the raw clay hole that you're going to be in the dark. And that to me was, I meant it like that, not afterlife-y.
So anyway, I really like that story for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. I like the story itself, how Dickens wrote it.
It's got good fairy tale qualities.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it does. And so anyway, my favorite version of that story is called Scrooge.
Yes.
Which is an English film. Oh, it's a fairly old, stars
Scrooge. Not Scrooge.
Not the Bill Murray version.
All right.
So this is an old version. I think it's 1930s. Starring Alistair Sim as Scrooge, it's an excellent version of the story, and one of the best things about it is Alistair Sim as Scrooge and the transformation that Scrooge goes through, which I think is what makes that story work or doesn't.
Hmm.
If you don't feel like Scrooge is a different man when he wakes up on Christmas morning, then it doesn't work. Like, there's a version a lot of people like with George C. Scott, and I don't like it that much because I think George C. Scott still seems like a cranky motherfucker when he wakes up.
Yeah.
But
he doesn't tell the boy to buy the fattest goose.
Well, I mean, he does, but there's just something about how he plays the character.
Just in the acting.
Yeah, and
you're that boy.
It's one of the things I like about, and I think it's uneven, but one of the things I like in the Muppet Christmas Carol is the transformation that Michael Caine shows in Scrooge from before he meets with the spirits to after he wakes up. Mm-hmm. And there are other things about it that I don't like. I actually don't like a lot of what they rewrite about the way Scrooge behaves and what he does after he wakes up. But anyway, that's a completely different thing. Scrooge, I would highly recommend it. It's public domain, so you can probably find it a lot of different places. You could probably watch it on YouTube.
The movie Scrooged, the Bill Murray movie, is one of the ones on my list that it's probably the most Christmassy movie that I like in terms of classic-y Christmas stuff that I like. But it's funny, that movie, I mean, I saw it when I was, I don't know what year it came out, so probably like 11 maybe or so, 12 if it came out in the 80s, and like maybe 10. And the scene where the bum freezes to death terrified me as a kid. Made me feel like, not scared, but like deeply, deeply sad and just depressed and really just really afraid for all the people. And like, I think that might be one of the reasons that I like A Christmas Carol, but generally movies about it make me, it hits me in ways that make me feel really awful. Like the Tiny Tim stuff always makes me feel really terrible. In Scrooge, they do a really good job of it with the little boy who just doesn't talk.
Yeah.
And they don't know why. And they're probably never going to be able to fix them because they're poor. And like that kind of stuff. And like as a kid, I was pretty sensitive to, you know, other people's plights. And that kind of thing would really get me down. And I remember thinking whenever I see A Christmas Carol, even today, I just think like, it's not enough. He doesn't do enough at the end. Like, it's just, I don't feel like he's redeemed enough. It doesn't make me, it's hard because I'm always like, oh, Bye-bye's a goose. Good job. Bought a goose. Way to go. And like, okay, you don't have to work Christmas. Congratulations. Like,
the thing is that unfortunately is what gets left out of most of the Christmas Carol stories is how much Scrooge does after, you know, because he, you know, the first thing, he gives a shit ton of money to, like, the Widows and Orphans Fund and stuff, and says, you know, a great deal of back payments are included in that. He clearly stops foreclosing on homes in the way that he... I mean, there, and
that's true. The book does have more of that.
The book really refers to how Scrooge is completely transformed. It's not just about helping Tiny Tim.
Or one goose.
Yeah. It is about Scrooge.
All the gooses.
Scrooge so turning into, from a man who covets wealth to a man who shares his wealth.
Mm-hmm. And covets love.
And covets love.
And friendship. And that, 'cause that's what it is he's realizing that. And gooses. He covets all the gooses.
But I like Scrooged as well. I think it's a really good
Well, of course you do. You have a sense of humor.
I do.
I mean, it's a great movie.
It's funny.
It's a great movie.
It's got funny things in it that make you laugh and things.
I love a funny Christmas movie, too.
What's your funny Christmas movie that you love?
Most of the Christmas movies I like aren't like what you'd call traditional Christmas movies, I guess. Some are like cop-out Christmas movies.
Die Hard.
Die Hard is...
Die Hard's a fucking awesome movie, and it is a Christmas movie.
We can talk more about Die Hard, but I Trading Places.
Trading Places is great.
It's a Christmas movie.
All
right. Dan Aykroyd, when he's at his lowest fucking point, and he's in that Santa suit, and he's crashing his old company, his old trading firm's holiday party, and he's got like a pocket full of pills, and he's like... sticking a salmon in his beard and stuff like that. It's
and he almost kills himself. I mean, it's some dark shit.
It really is. And it's also hilarious. And it's also a tale of I love like a clever outfoxing, like a scoundrel con man victory kind of a thing.
I get that.
Where it's like what they did was, you know, wrong or illegal or unethical or whatever, but it was in retribution to an unethical like act, so it's justified and it's justice.
Yeah.
And the way they turn things around and, you know, he's the richest butler in the world at the end, and the prostitute's there too, and she helped them, and so she got money, and they all like rich guy learns a lesson. The three like poorer characters in the show are financially uplifted and comfortable, and the two rich assholes get everything fucking taken from them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know, there's some cosmic justice there that I kind of appreciate, but it's also a funny movie, and I think that like, I think that like maybe as far as some of the race stuff and economic stuff that gets covered in the movie, it might have been a little ahead of its time. I don't know if you could make a Trading Places movie like that today, could you?
There's that... I don't know. I mean, there... Mel Brooks has said that he couldn't make Blazing Saddles now. I don't agree.
I don't agree either.
I don't agree because there's never a point where people are being racist in Blazing Saddles that you're supposed to feel like any of it's okay.
Right. Exactly.
And it's all of their racism is bad.
Yes. Yeah.
They're assholes.
Yeah.
You know, and
the black guy is like... what? Like, I mean, he's very clearly
he's Bugs Bunny. He outsmarts them all.
He gets that they're being dumb racists. Yeah. He's not like
racist.
He's not like hurt and like put down, and like you can tell he's like, oh, I'm gonna get these racist assholes. Yeah.
There's
like,
one or two things that might be cut at the end. Maybe a line about Kansas City ferrets. But yeah,
near the end, there. I think the biggest problem with Blazing Saddles is some of the homophobia.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's the stuff they couldn't remake.
Yeah, but
for the better. I'm glad.
But Trading Places, I mean. The two dudes that the assholes, the rich assholes, are racist, And they're racist in a way that's shocking and wrong, and they're punished for it.
And unethical. Mm-hmm. Like, it's some mm-hmm. economic Tuskegee experiment shit that's going on. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's difficult when you're not a person of color. It's hard to look at a movie that has that kind of thing forgive it and say, well, it's all okay. You know, I'd be interested to hear how...
Someone else's opinion.
The opinion of... a person of color.
Sure.
And more than one on how they feel those...
Whoa, more than one?
No, all right, just one.
More than one person or more than one color?
More than one color.
God damn it.
But no, I love Trading Places. I think Trading Places...
Nick, so, and Tim, I'm going to come to you and ask you if there's a crazy non-ish holiday movie you like, so think about it, but is there a classic holiday movie that you like? Any kind of, anything that isn't like, you know, that anyone would be considered like It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street. Do you like any of that stuff?
Miracle on 34th Street is the one with the letters from Santa Claus in the courtroom.
Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
I do not like
the
black and white movie or the newer...
And the It's a Wonderful Life is the, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its
wings.
Yeah,
it's the one where he, it's
Ghost of Christmas Future.
It's the Twilight Zone Christmas episode, basically.
Yeah,
it's,
I
don't, not really. No. I mean,
how about A Christmas Story?
I fucking hate A Christmas Story.
Yay! This is why our marriage works.
We've had this conversation on the podcast before.
Can you think of anything else? Is there any classic Christmas, anything that you...
Classic?
You know what I mean by classic? Just like, it's very much definitively a Christmas movie.
All right, so, like, if the entire plot of the movie can be summarized as, yay, it's Christmas!
Yeah.
I kind of have no interest in seeing that movie.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's fair. I have one that for me...
Is Bad Santa a classic Christmas?
Bad Santa would be, because the whole point of that movie is it's Christmas.
And butt sex.
But, like, that's that Bad Santa
it's
counts.
It's also really disparaging to small people, so that's
cool,
too.
You like Bad Santa?
I like Bad Santa. It's I know the sequel's out right now, and I don't know anything about that.
The sequel's pretty awful.
Well, yeah, I mean, the sequel's often
not surprising.
Lightning in a Bottle, hard to catch.
No, Bad Santa was a movie that didn't need a sequel. It's like, it did its job.
It was a perfect story.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I liked Bad Santa.
Yeah. I would say mine is Love Actually. And I know I've mentioned that before on this show, but I love Love Actually. I think it's the perfect Christmas movie because I think it's about what Christmas is about. In the good and the bad ways, because there's Alan Rickman buying an expensive gift for a girl he flirts with in the office that isn't his wife, which is kind of also something what Christmas is being about, like misguided hope, you idiot, you snake, kind of. And then there's
Love Actually is an interesting movie. I like it mm-hmm. a lot. But there are a lot of people who really hate it.
Oh, I know there are. And all the reasons they hate... It's just like there's... Okay, I know I have a friend who hates Nine Inch Nails. Everything he hates about Nine Inch Nails, every reason he gives for why they're terrible, is a reason I would give for why I like them. And that's how I feel about Love Actually. I've read those blogs where they're like, I'm going to ruin Love Actually for you, and you will never love this movie again. And I'm like, okay, let's go for it. And they run down everything, and I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean... All right, I guess I'm not watching Love Actually for its amazing plot sans holes. Like, it's just a movie. Like, I don't know. It's, I don't know. I like that one a lot. But I also don't like a lot of classic Christmas stuff. But there is a movie that I like that's Christmassy that gets often overlooked, and that's The Ref.
Oh, I love The Ref.
The
so
Ref
hard.
Is a great fucking movie.
I still don't think I've seen it.
We should watch it this year. It's a good Christmas movie.
I'm
Home Alone's another one that's up there that's okay.
Home Alone's sweet.
It's good for kids.
Home Alone's a...
It's a good for kids.
My kids love Home Alone.
I think that is what when Home Alone come out, 91, 92, something
maybe
like that.
Maybe even 89.
I was the age for Home Alone.
So was my brother, whose name is Kevin.
I was born in 81. He was born in 80.
And
he and I were like that.
You were the kid.
Yeah, we were like Macaulay Culkin's age in that movie, basically.
Entire cheese pizza, just for me.
Just for me.
Yeah, like just all those,
Yeah, I get a soft spot for Home Alone.
I think, for me at least, I know I like Christmas adjacent movies more than Christmas movies, maybe.
Christmas
but like,
is the setting,
so,
not the theme.
Tim, what's a Christmas adjacent movie that you like?
Nick mentioned Die Hard.
Die Hard.
That's pretty much every holiday season I watch Die Hard.
Yeah, me too.
Because it is a Christmas movie. It's set at a Christmas party. It is. I mean, the whole reason John McClane is there is because he's going to Christmas
home
with
for
his
the holidays.
Family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, there's absolutely absolutely a Christmas element to that film. Sure. Mm-hmm. And I mean, hell, the way the spoiler, when he's got the gun taped to his back at the end of the movie, it's the Christmas holiday decoration.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
You know, so yeah, I mean, it's not like, hey, it's Christmas, but it's still a Christmas movie.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
So what about television? Is there any, we've talked a lot, pretty extensively about movies. Oh. Are there any TV things that...
Real quick.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a Christmas sweater that is like, the front is, it says, ho, 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 now I have a machine gun. But then the back of the Christmas sweater has... knit into the sweater has a gun taped to the back where the gun is taped on John McClane.
That's pretty great.
That's the only Christmas sweater I would consider wearing, I think. Eh, maybe not.
But yeah, TV. So I know, like, I hate Charlie Brown Christmas special. Oh. I'm going to put that right out there. But I also hate Peanuts.
I hate Peanuts. Yeah.
The Charlie Brown Christmas special has a nostalgic value for me, but it's not...
Christmas time,
it's not... I don't know that it's aged well. My favorite is How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas has aged well.
But you got to get the one that is narrated by Boris Karloff, because it was re-narrated years later.
Really?
By not Jack Lemmon, the other dude from Grumpier Old Men, Walter Matthau.
Walter Matthau.
Oh, interesting.
And the Walter Matthau narration is nowhere near as good as the Boris Karloff narration. And that's being super picky, but it really makes a big difference. And by the way, we are not talking about the piece of shit Jim Carrey.
Ugh, no. The cartoon. The movie is terrible. We eat roast beast at Christmas. We still call it roast beast. Madeline is Cindy Lou Who. Like, she looked just when she was little, when she was like two years old. Mm-hmm. She had that little blonde ponytail on the top of her head and everything. And we used to, Maddie Lou Who. Yeah. There's been a few. I really like we just did for Vilten. We just did a cheesy holiday special.
Yeah.
Like, welcome to my, like, oh, who's here? My
Colbert
friends are
did
here.
One of those just like a like year
Colbert
or two
did,
ago.
Or like the one with David, the David Bowie and Bing Crosby singing Little Drummer Boy. That's from one of those kinds of things.
Bing Crosby
where,
holiday special.
Where Bing Crosby was like, oh, well, hello there, my friend. Hello, David, my friend. He's like, oh, hello, Bing. Oh, good. Happy Christmas.
I
live right next door in England. He's like, oh, well, I guess we'll sing a song together. Like that. I always liked that kind of stuff. And then...
I like it if they're funny, but I don't... So much of that is tied into, like, a sing-along around a piano.
Yeah.
And that I don't really like a lot of Christmas music, so they don't...
That
aspect I'm not into.
I love Christmas music. I get it in my head way too much, and I know all of it, because my mom used to make us sing it in the car pretty much the entire month of December. We would just do family. So that's what we would do instead of having the radio on. My mom would just start singing, and we would all sing, and we'd do canticles and harmonies and the whole deal.
Your family's so loud.
Yeah, they are. For Christmas specials, I really love whenever they did Christmas stuff on Futurama. The Robo Santa.
Kwanzaa Bot.
So when the first time they do it, Fry is in the future and he's like, oh boy, Christmas. I can't wait to leave out cookies and milk for Santa. And everyone's like, what? Oh my God, no. And they're like getting ready for Santa because Santa is now a killer robot that spends Christmas Eve murdering everybody who's outside of their homes. Which is amazing.
They made a Santa bot and programmed it to do Santa stuff, but it determined that everyone was naughty.
And so now everyone's naughty and it just kills people. So
there's a bunch of good stuff in that episode. You know what I'm looking forward to? With the announcing of Sense8 season 2 on Netflix.
Yeah.
They also announced that they're going to do a Sense8 Christmas special between the seasons.
Oh, that's cool.
So, I'm really looking forward to that as a Christmas special, because I really am curious to see how they tie that situation and everything in those characters to Christmas.
I bet it'll be emotional.
No doubt.
I'd sure be interested. I would be very interested to know what listeners, like, what Christmas episodes from TV series. Because
they don't stand out.
Stick with me.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Oh, I know one. The Santa's Little Helper episode of The Simpsons where they get their dog. That's like the first.
Or the one where Bart accidentally, is it Bart that burns down the Christmas tree and and all the presents, and they say that it was a thief, or something. In The Simpsons, there's
Doesn't he get caught shoplifting a video game?
Yeah. And Marge is just like, a couple of those are fairly memorable.
The Santa's Little Helper one, though, will always kind of rescue dog from the racetrack.
I know there's one of the things that isn't there going to be a Sherlock.
Yeah,
Christmas special this year too coming up.
There was a Sherlock Christmas special.
Is there going to be another? Is there going to be another one?
Last year there was.
They're going to do another one this year, I think.
It's a very BBC thing to do.
I thought they only announced that they were having the new season.
Nick is going to the internet, so while we look it up.
But the Christmas special, the Sherlock Christmas special last year, I was pretty lukewarm.
Yeah, it was alright.
Yeah.
I like that they do Doctor Who Christmas specials, but I never feel like they're the strongest episodes.
They're not usually very good. They're usually just like, all right.
There's good moments, but...
Gun to your head, you can only listen to one Christmas song for the rest of time. You're not always listening to it, but whenever you listen to Christmas music, you can only listen to this. You can only listen to one Christmas song.
It would probably... Shit.
I know.
It would be... The 12 Days of Christmas, because I would think of it with the Dregs lyrics and I'd laugh.
All right, that's good. I would go three fucking birds, two more fucking birds, and a motherfucking bird in a tree.
Yeah.
I would go with Carol of the Bells, which I love very much.
Answer. I should have answered that.
Nick, do you have a choice? I know you don't like it, but is there anything that you don't mind? Like, do you like Jingle Bells, Rudolph the Red-Nosed
Reindeer?
Every
once in a while, I get Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree stuck in my head.
Hey, that's not terrible,
but
right?
I don't really like the song.
All right, and then final question. Let's end this Christmas special on a negative note. If you could strike one Christmas song from the Pantheon and it would never be heard again.
Oh, that's so easy.
What would it be?
Little Drummer Boy. Fuck that song.
Yes. Thank you. Song. It's awful.
It's fucking awful.
I would probably... Boy, now I gotta think. I really, really hate Away in a Manger.
Oh yeah, it's a shitty song.
I just think it's terrible. Can you think of anything, Nick? I know it's on the spot, so if
I don't know. I don't know enough.
Lord Jesus.
I don't know enough Christmas songs. I don't pay attention to them enough to be like, oh, this one.
Yeah. I know
something religious.
Yeah, you really don't like Little Drummer Boy. I know that. That's because it's repetitive. Right.
Little Drummer Boy is a piece of shit.
It's really
song.
Terrible. I wrote a much better version called Sticky White Cum, which I think should just replace Little Drummer Boy for all time.
Especially for children.
So that was our Christmas stuff. By all means, please comment and let us know if there's something that we missed or you're like, I can't believe they didn't mention this movie. There's an episode of something, especially if it's geeky. Bonus points if it's geeky and we didn't mention it. I'd love to hear. Hey, Molly. Yeah, Molly? Do you have 5 questions from somebody? I do. Molly, can I just say you're looking really pretty today?
Stop hitting on my wife, you whore.
We have 5 questions from Nick Knight, who is in Gdansk, Poland.
Gdansk!
And just so you know, Nick sent his questions in on August 23rd, so we're catching up.
We're catching up fast.
So,
Question number 1. What is a movie you will stop and watch anytime it's on?
Coming to America.
Oh, yeah.
The movie is just one good joke after another, and it's Eddie Murphy at the height of his powers.
You know, it's an interesting enough, speaking of, because we were talking about Trading Places earlier.
They appear.
And the two characters, the two rich dudes from Trading Places.
They get the bag of money or whatever it is.
Yeah. I need to watch those movies again. I haven't seen them since I was way too young to appreciate them, and I thought they were boring.
My phone is fucking up right now, and I don't remember our second question.
Question number 2, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
That's the one.
My money collection from my travels. Ooh. Much of it is no longer circulated due to political change and inflation.
That's kind of cool.
It's interesting.
I think money collecting is pretty...
Yeah, my mom did that when she used to travel a lot. Yeah.
Question number 3, what fictional or deity or I'm asking the question badly, but what deity or fictional character do you wish was real?
Indiana Jones.
Yay!
There is adventure, travel, history, geography, women. What is not to love?
Bad archaeology, but it's all right.
That's good.
All right.
I like that one.
Question number 4. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem humanity now faces.
Economic inequality.
Hey.
Religion helps keep the system working as people believe they will receive their reward in the afterlife. With religion gone, people would be less content to keep up the status quo.
The prosperity gospel is a really good tool.
It is a good tool to be like, it's better to be a fat man in the eye of a needle than like pass through the gates of heaven or whatever the fuck it is.
Needle's eye.
Fat man. I think I was quoting a song there.
I don't know what you're doing there.
Speaking of bad quotes, question number five.
That was a Sting quote.
Question number five. What is your favorite quote?
You can't go home again. I have moved a lot in my life, and though often nostalgic for past experiences in certain places, they can never be repeated upon return.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's good. And yes, that was a quote from Sting, and it is from the song All This Time, which is about his father dying, which is a very good song.
It's from the Soul Cages, which is a fine, fine CD.
Indeed.
I like him in Dune.
He bends like a reed in the wind.
I reckon him!
He's like a reed in the wind. Watch him soar.
Check out my Speedo!
Carbon nanofiber. Speed suit. Or Speedo.
Hey, yeah. Nick, thanks so much for writing to us. If you want to answer our five questions, write your answers to fivequestions@geekswithoutgod.com. Please, you know, write them because we're looking for more. And I'll tell you what, when we run out, we don't know what's going to happen. So if you're into
the
that kind
explodes.
Of...
explodes.
Yeah,
it could be some sort of podcast singularity. I don't even know.
If you're into the unknown, and we're atheists, so we are, you know, like...
Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't make the rules, Tim.
Shit.
Cool. All right. Hey, everybody. Happy Christmas to you. And I hope that you're enjoying your holiday season. If you don't celebrate Christmas, happy whatever to you. Happy solstice. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah.
Nothing.
Happy nothing. Happy December. Happy the last month before it starts to get really cold. I mean, really cold.
If you live where we do.
If you don't live where we do, congratulations. Because it's going to be way colder here. Thank you. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all that good stuff. And we have been Geeks Without God. Ho, ho, ho. Dasher, on Dancer, on Vixens,
Prancer.
On Sluts and Whores Vixen. And Donners. Tommy, Donna Dixon.
Donna Dixon.
Bye.
Bye.
Up on the rooftop, reindeer paws. Reindeer paws. Reindeer have hooves.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter @GeeksWithoutGod. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
We recorded in reverse order. It's going to be so confusing.